It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
This week with James Shaw, I spoke to him about his recent trip to Scott Base, which is why he wasn't with us last week. But while he was there, he spoke with scientists about their work on how climate change is affecting Antarctica. I began by asking James to briefly explain what his trip entailed.
Look, I was down in Scott Base for about 3.5 days, and the primary purpose of my visit was to connect with the scientists who were there over the summer period, most of whom are doing work that directly relates to climate change in some way. So, you can get very kind of removed from things here in Wellington, and I find that, you know, we actually get out and talk to people on the front line, it gives you a much greater understanding of what's really going on.
So could you talk a little bit more about what the work on climate change is focused on?
Well, there's probably a couple of examples that that I interacted with. So one was out near the original Scott expedition hut, where they're drilling up. They've drilled a hole into the ice and are kind of sending instruments down to look at tiny plants that grow on the underside of the sea ice, and those plants form the basis of the food chain, because they get eaten by krill, and then krill get eaten by, you know, basically everything else. And so they're looking at the impact of changes in light passing through the ice, and the light is affected by weather patterns and by the thickness of the ice and so on, and those things are affected by climate change. And so it was sort of, a remarkable piece of science, really, looking at how climate change is affecting the very basis of the food chain for pretty much the entire marine environment down there in Antarctica. Another one was looking at ice flows and essentially how, ice is melting on the underside of the Ross Ice Shelf, and then turning into a different form of ice on the outside of the shelf. And so, just kind of looking at how essentially warming oceans, exacerbated by climate change, are affecting the kind of makeup of the ice shelf. And that, of course, has particular implications for New Zealand, ultimately in the form of sea level rise.
Just to go back to the first example you gave us, clearly, the effect that climate change is having on those wee plants under the ice is a biodiversity issue. Could you just talk a little bit about why you think it's so important that we care about the effect climate change has on the biodiversity of the planet?
Well, I mean, ultimately, we actually, our own, life support systems in a global sense rely on biodiversity. When it comes more directly to the Southern Ocean, I mean, we eat fish from the Southern Ocean, and those fish are part of that food chain. Ultimately, whales and other kind of large marine mammals rely on krill as a food source. And so, the extent to which those species continue to be able to exist in what is essentially one of the last untouched wildernesses on Earth, I think, depends on the stability of that food supply. And so, I guess we depend on biodiversity both for our own survival, but also it just for the sake of living on a planet that's got more than one creature on it, i.e. us.
Going back to the issue of sea levels rising and ice shelves melting, what effect are these issues having on New Zealand and the wider Pacific?
Well, most of us in New Zealand live fairly close to the sea, and even in places that don't, we've got, for example, a lot of our kind of underground infrastructure for water relies on the ocean remaining where it is. So I live in Wellington, and I live quite a long way above sea level because it's Wellington, it's a really hilly place, but the drains all run out to sea for storm water and so on. And as sea level rises, the the sea actually pushes back upwards into those stormwater drains. And so it's been recorded in Wellington already that we're seeing seawater kind of as far back as Lambton Quay and coming up from the sea through the storm drains when you get these kind of king tides and so on. And so, you know, that ultimately is going to prove to be quite an expensive problem. But for some of our small towns, which are, you know, exist on the flat, very close to the shoreline, you know, it doesn't take much sea level rise to cause increasing floods and also to waterlog the land around it. Much of the flat parts of New Zealand prior to the Europeans arriving were wetland or swamp. And, you know, those original settlers came in, they drained the swamps and created farmland. Now, that's fine, except if you increase sea level rise by not very much, there's nowhere for the water to drain out from those former wetlands, and they revert back to wetland from swamp. And, you know, that could have very significant consequences for New Zealand.
I mean, I suppose that's, I'm from Christchurch, so that is a real, real issue for Christchurch, as we even saw through the earthquakes. It's, you know, there's huge issues with, water draining in there anyway.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. I mean, one of the issues in Christchurch, one of the most wide felt effects was that liquefaction as the groundwater came back up through the soil and essentially turned everything into mud, right?
And horrible stuff.
That's right. And that is because that land is flat and close to the sea and close to rivers. And so it's reasonably kind of waterlogged to start with. It doesn't take much for that to continue.
What does New Zealand have to learn from the work being done in Antarctica? Can the work be widely applied?
Yes, it can. Just before I went down, there was a report that came out from Victoria University, which was talking about how, you know, we've got new understanding of the threshold at which the Antarctic ice shelves will start to break up. They're sort of saying it actually looks like 1.5 degrees of global warming is probably the upper limit. If we were to go to 2 degrees of global warming, then we're almost certainly going to see the breakup of the Antarctic ice shelves. And that will lead to, you know, a significant amount of sea level rise. And we kind of had some information about that before, but now we, you know, basically the more science we do, the more refined our understanding gets. That helps us with our modelling about, you know, the scenarios for the future and for the coming decades, and that helps us to make policy decisions. So it's really quite significant. And that was one of the things that really struck me last week, you know, is we've got these incredibly brave groups of scientists who, some of whom don't actually live at Scott Base, they live in tents hundreds of miles away out on the ice floes, looking at those kinds of conditions, just little groups of 3 or 4 scientists conducting these experiments, monitoring what's going on, and ultimately the way that feeds up to the work that I do helps me to make policy decisions about, you know, how we adapt to the effects of climate change, what we can predict about the future. So it's important work.
What's happening over the next week? And the coming few weeks for you?
Well, I'm actually only in New Zealand for another couple of weeks, and then I'm off to Poland for the
COP 24.
That's right.
Yes.
For the latest round of UN negotiations on how to save the planet.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.